Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you can do that in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. Or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes or scan the QR code on the screen, and that'll take you to our digital sermon notes page where you can follow along with the notes. You can ask questions. You can do reflective questions. There's devotionals for every day of the week. There's opportunity to really connect with the word there. So hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes. If you'd like to be a part of that. But today we're continuing our sermon series, Stuff You've Googled. And in this series, we've been looking at some familiar phrases that sound encouraging, and they maybe even sound biblical. We've talked about things like when we say to each other, you know, God will never close a door without opening a window. Or God won't give you more than you can handle. Or God helps those who help themselves. They're phrases that we might say to each other or things that we might offer to one another that sound biblical. The only problem is that some of them aren't in the Bible. They're trying to say something true. They're trying to say something accurate. They're trying to bring something that is comforting and is trying to help, but they fall short. They don't quite bring the truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word, to what we're dealing with. And the point of this series has not been to make fun of these things or to laugh at them or to say, oh, aren't these stupid? The point of this series has been to try and bring in some fuller understanding to what the Bible really has to say about these moments in life. And this week, I have to be especially sensitive to that and especially cautious of that, because for a couple of reasons. First, the phrase that we're going to look at today actually is in the Bible. This is not a phrase that we say to each other that's not in the Bible. This is a phrase that we say to each other. It is a Bible verse. And I need to be especially, especially careful because it's my son Theo's favorite Bible verse. He's got hoodies with it on it. He's got signs in his room. This is his verse. This is his favorite verse. And so I don't want to come up front and be like, sorry, Theo. Your verse stinks, buddy. That's not what we're going to do today, but we're going to try and understand it a little deeper. Today, the phrase that we're going to talk about today is, I can do all things through Christ. Or depending on the translation you grow up, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Or I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. This is one of the most well-known and quoted verses in the Bible. People quote it. People post it. People put it on mugs and shirts and posters and graduation cards. Athletes wear it on their shoes or they'll write it on their eye black. It gets used before big games, big moments, big dreams, big goals, and big challenges. And when we talk about this verse and when we use this verse, we hear it as a verse about possibility. I can do this. I can win this. I can accomplish this. I can reach this goal. I can push past this obstacle. I can achieve what is in front of me because Christ gives me the strength. And we understand why we reach for it like that, why we use it that way. It sounds strong. It sounds encouraging. It gives us courage to face whatever we're facing. It sounds like faith. And there's something really good and right underneath that. Because Christ really does strengthen his people. And so we're not going to just throw the verse away. But there are some times where we use that verse in another way, and it can be hard. Someone is grieving. Someone is overwhelmed. Someone is anxious. Someone is exhausted. Someone is carrying a burden that is heavier than anyone else can see. And someone comes along and says, well, remember, you can do all things through Christ. And the intent is right. The intent is good. They're trying to help. They're trying to encourage. They're trying to remind you that Christ is with you. Jesus is walking with you. He is taking every step of this journey with you. But it can lead us to think, to feel, if I can do all things through Christ, why do I feel like I can't do this? Why am I still struggling? Why am I still tired? Why am I still anxious? Why won't the grief go away? Why does this still hurt? Why do I need help? And instead of bringing comfort and bringing hope, it can bring guilt or shame. Because if I can do all things through Christ, why can't I do this? And this is not what Paul is doing with this verse. He's not using it as a slogan for achievement. It's not about being able to accomplish whatever we put our minds to. But he's also not using it as pressure for people to pretend that everything is a certain way. He's not giving us a promise that everything we put our hand to will just be fine. And he's not telling us that if everything you put your hand to isn't fine, you should be ashamed. But the reality of our walk with God, the reality of our relationship with Jesus, is that following Jesus will at times ask more of us than we can produce on our own. Jesus calls us to love when love is costly. We're called to forgive when forgiveness is hard. We're called to tell the truth when lying would be easier. We're called to resist temptation, even when temptation looks really, really, really appealing. We're called to serve and to give when we're tired. We're called to endure when life is heavy. We're called to be faithful when no one sees and no one seems to care. We're called to trust God when we don't understand what it is that he's doing. And if all we have is our own strength, if all we have is our ability for us to carry ourselves as far as we can go, eventually we're gonna run out. Eventually our patience will run out. Our courage will run out. Our self-control will run out. Our ability to keep going is going to run out. Our capacity to hold it all together is going to run out. And so we do need the strength of Christ. We do need his grace. We need his spirit. We need his presence. We need his power at work in our hearts and our lives for us to make it through what life is going to ask us to make it through. So the problem with this verse is not that it gives us too much confidence in Christ. That I'm not here to tell you today, don't set your expectations on God too high. Keep them low. If you just keep your expectations on God really, really low, then maybe you won't be disappointed. The problem is not that it puts our expectations on God too high. The problem is when we turn Christ's strength into something that Paul was never saying. And then we have this idea of what it means, that this is what my life should look like because of the promise of strength. And then when it doesn't happen, we're confused and we're frustrated and we don't understand why God and what's happening, because I was told that I could do all things and yet I couldn't. So what we need to do is we need to put this verse into its context. Because when we do, what we'll discover together this morning is that this beautiful verse, it's bigger than we think it is. That when we put this verse into context, it's not that it shrinks it down and makes it more manageable and lowers our expectations and says, now when you put it in context, it's not actually promising all that you think. It's promising way, way less, but it's still okay. When we put this verse into context, we're going to discover that it's so much bigger than what we give credit for. Because when we hear the verse by itself, our natural temptation is to fill in the blank with our own all things. But when we put it into its context, we discover that Paul was speaking to something specific, but that something specific is so much bigger than my all things. So it comes at the end of a paragraph, at the end of part of Paul's letter, where he's talking about contentment. Paul is writing to a church in a city named Philippi, and so he's writing them this letter. And in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10, he says this: I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Paul's writing this letter to this church that he founded and this church that had been partnering with him in ministry. And for a while, they weren't able to partner, but they were now partnering with him again. And he writes to say, I'm so glad we're able to continue this partnership, that you support me, that you love me, that you care for me, that you're helping in what God is doing in my life. I'm so grateful for the help that you're giving. And I think this is a moment to pause, just because I think there's something in here that we need to talk about just real quick, because I think it's a different misconception that we can have. It's important for us to pause here and notice, because what Paul is showing us here, even without saying it directly, but what we can see is that contentment doesn't mean pretending that we don't have any needs. Paul can be content in Christ and still receive help from other people. And this is important for us to be able to see and to be able to pause for a moment and reflect on, because sometimes we think that contentment means that our heart's posture to life should be like, everything is fine and I don't need anything from anyone. I'm content. What I have is fine and I don't need anything else. That contentment somehow just means that we shouldn't feel anything about that kind of stuff, that we should not receive help, that we should be so spiritually strong that our circumstances just will not touch us, and so we don't need to ask for help and we certainly don't need to receive any help, because I want to portray contentment. But that's not what Paul's showing us here. Paul will go on to say, I am content. But we also see that he's not isolated. That contentment doesn't mean being an island unto himself. We will see that he's strengthened by Christ, but still grateful for the support of the people around him. That those two things are not opposites to each other. That it's not that I can't say I need help or I can't receive help, but I also can't be content if I do those things. That Paul will understand that God's provision comes in all kinds of different ways. And so when people around us love us and care for us and support us, to receive that is not to somehow not be content, but it's to understand that we are grateful for the Lord's provision. Then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he clarifies as to where he's coming from right now. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Paul's not trying to be manipulative, not trying to say, you know, I'm so grateful for your support, and I'm really grateful that you continue to support. And in fact, if you'd like to give a little bit more, if you just go to theapostlepaul.com/give, then you'll be able to support my ministry even more. I am so grateful for the way that you give. And if you'd like to give a little bit more, and I'll be a little bit more grateful, that would be great. He's saying, I'm not saying this. I'm not grateful just because I need it. He says, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He says, I'm not speaking from this place of need. I'm not trying to manifest something. I'm not trying to make something happen. I am just honestly, truly grateful because I've learned to be content in whatever it is that I'm going through. And there's an important word again that I think we just need to pause and see for a moment, because I think sometimes we can forget this about ourselves and especially about the other people around us. That Paul says that he learned to be content. And that word learned, it matters. Paul doesn't say that contentment was just a switch he forgot to turn on. Paul doesn't say that commitment was just a state of being that he forgot to be in at times. He doesn't say that contentment came automatically, or that contentment was easier, or that contentment comes natural. He said he had to learn it. That he had to walk through all of these different seasons of life, and as each one presented a different challenge in how to be content, he had to understand how to be content in that moment. That each circumstance in life, there brings a temptation for a lack of contentment, and he learned how to be there. Which shows us that contentment is not just something that we have, and it's not just something that's a part of who we are. But instead, it's something that's formed in us as we follow Jesus. It's learned, it's practiced, and it's shaped through real life. And that means that contentment isn't pretending. Contentment is not pretending everything's fine. It's not acting like disappointment doesn't hurt. And it's not acting like the need isn't real. Instead, contentment is the settled trust that my life is held by Christ, even when my circumstances aren't what I would choose. That as I walk through Christ, or walk through life, and I face all of these different circumstances, contentment is not just simply saying there's nothing wrong. But contentment is being able to say there may be lots wrong right now. But it's okay, because my life is not ruled by whether things are right or wrong. My life is held by Christ. And then just to make it clear, in Philippians 4:12, Paul gives us the range of circumstances where he's had to learn this. He says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says, I've lived out the whole range. I've lived as a rich person. I've lived with status. I've lived with influence. I've lived with admiration of the people around me. I've had it all. And I've been left for dead in a ditch. I've been as low as you can get. I've been as high as you can get, and I've been as low as you can get. I've lived it all. He's not speaking theoretically. He's not standing at a distance and shouting advice to something he's not lived through or walked through. Paul has lived this. He's experienced this. And as he looks back at his life and he looks back at the story of all of these different places where he's met God and where he's met his strength and where he's met and found what God is doing in him, as he looks back over the story of the ups and downs of his life, he comes to the conclusion that in the middle of all of it, what I've learned is this. I've learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've lived in the best and I've lived in the worst. And I've learned that I can do all of it because of Jesus. That's the context for I can do all things through Christ. See, the all things are not the achievements that Paul wanted to accomplish. The all things were not Paul saying, look at how many churches I've planted. Look at how many cities I've visited. Look at how many people I've shared Jesus with. Look at all the accomplishments. Look at the resume. Look at the fact that I am the Apostle Paul. Look at all the things I've been able to do because of God's strength in my life. That's not what the all things are. The all things is Paul looking back at his story and saying, I have been through so much. And what I found every step of the way is that no matter how good it was, and no matter how hard it was, in all of it, I found Jesus. I found God's strength. Paul is saying, I can be brought low, and Christ will strengthen me. I can have plenty, and Christ will strengthen me. I can be hungry, and Christ will strengthen me. I can be in need, and Christ will strengthen me. I can walk through seasons I would not have chosen, and Christ will strengthen me. So the miracle is not that Paul can have victory. The miracle is not that Paul can have whatever he wants in every circumstance. The miracle is that Christ will meet Paul in every circumstance, that Christ will sustain him in every circumstance. And that changes this verse completely. This verse is not less powerful in context. This verse is not talking about something smaller in context. It's more powerful. Because if this verse only means Christ will help me when I win, then it'll have very little to say when I lose. If it only means Christ will help me succeed, then it will have very little to say when things seemingly fall apart. If it only means Christ will help me achieve my goals, then it has very little to say when I'm walking through a season I would never have chosen. But if this verse means Christ will meet me, sustain me, and strengthen me in every circumstance, then it has something to say in every season. It has something to say when I succeed, and it has something to say when I fail. It has something to say when I have plenty, and it has something to say when I'm in need. It has something to say when life feels full, and it has something to say when life feels empty. It has something to say when I feel strong, and it has something to say when I feel at my weakest. But something that's important for us to notice is that Paul says that Christ's strength was not only necessary in hardship. That Paul doesn't say, when life was good, I didn't really need Jesus because life was good. But then when it got hard, every time it got hard, I found Jesus. He tells us that Christ's strength was necessary for him in all seasons. Well, we usually understand why need requires strength. It takes strength to trust God when you do not have what you feel like you need. That takes strength. It takes strength to keep praying when you've been praying and you haven't received an answer to your prayer. It takes strength to remain faithful when you feel limited. It takes strength not to become bitter when things are hard. But plenty requires strength too. Abundance can also test the heart. Because when things are not the way that they should be, we can become tempted and we can have moments where we say, God, where are you in all of this? God, where are, God, why are you not here? God, I'm looking for you and I cannot find you. But in moments of plenty, we can stop asking the question altogether, God, where are you? We can stop looking for, I don't need to look for God. I've got everything I need. I don't need anything. What do I need from God? Comfort can make us forget our dependence. Success can make us proud. Having enough can make us believe we're self-sufficient. And good seasons can cause us to be less prayerful, less grateful, and less attentive to God. So Paul says that I need Christ's strength in both circumstances. I need Christ to strengthen me when I'm weak, and I need Christ to help me still look for Christ when I am full. It says, Christ strengthens me when I'm full. Christ strengthens me when I'm empty. Christ strengthens me when I have plenty. And Christ strengthens me when I'm in need. Christ strengthens me so that my soul is not ruled by my circumstances. And that is contentment. Not because our circumstances don't matter. Our circumstances do matter. Your circumstances matter deeply. What you're going through, what you're walking through, it matters deeply to God. That's why Peter will tell us to cast our cares on him. Because it matters. Peter doesn't say, shut up about your circumstances. Don't you know God is with you? Shouldn't that be enough? Quit whining. God is with you. If that's not enough, tough. And he says, bring your circumstances to God. Cast your cares on God. Why? Because he cares for you. Your circumstances, they matter. But contentment is when circumstances are not the things that matter most. Our circumstances matter, but they don't matter the most. See, sometimes the miracle is that our situations change. And we can pray for that. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I believe that whatever you're walking through today, that in a moment we can pray for it. You can pray for it. Anyone can pray for it. And in a moment, God can change everything. That you could be healed of a physical ailment in a moment. That relationship problems can be fixed in a moment. That God can work in us and through us, and he can perform miracles. The same God who could raise people from the dead can raise people from the dead. I believe that with every fiber of my being, that God can bring healing, provide work, restore relationships, make a way, and change what needs to be changed in a moment. But sometimes that's not the miracle we receive. Sometimes the miracle is that Christ gives you the strength even when the situation has not changed yet. And my friends, my brothers and sisters, I need you to hear this. And I need us to take this because this is so important. That is no less miraculous. That's not a secondary miracle. That's not somehow, well, God didn't want to give me the good one, but he gave me the kind of one. It's no less miraculous. Maybe it's the parent who has been praying for a son or a daughter for years. And nothing seems to be changing. Maybe it's the person living with chronic pain who wakes up every day hoping that maybe today is the day and they'll find themselves with something different and they face the same struggle again. Maybe it's a marriage that still requires hard work. Maybe it's the grief that has not disappeared as quickly as you hoped that it would. Maybe it's the person who has been faithfully looking for work and that phone just won't ring. And sometimes, in the middle of all of that, the miracle is that you're still praying, that you're still trusting, that you're still showing up, that you're still loving, that you're still forgiving, that you're still resisting bitterness, that you're still refusing despair, that you're still choosing obedience, that you're still holding on to Christ. Sometimes the miracle is not that the situation changes immediately. Sometimes the miracle is that Jesus sustains you while you walk through life. Because if Christ only strengthens us for success, then what do we do in seasons that feel like failure? If Christ only strengthens us for the win, what do we do when we lose? If Christ only strengthens us when life is going the way we hoped, then what happens when life is not going the way we hoped? And this is where Paul gives us something bigger, something better. Christ strengthens us in every circumstance. He gives us strength when the answer is no. And he gives us strength when the answer is yes. He gives us strength when we have plenty. And he gives us strength when we're in need. He gives us strength when life is full. He gives us strength when life is full to overflowing. And he gives us strength when life is empty. See, Christ's strength is not pressure to perform. And it's not pressure to pretend. It's grace to remain faithful when life is not what we would have chosen. It's grace to continue whatever circumstance we're walking through. And my friends, that is such good news. So when we come back to the phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, can we say it? Yes, obviously, we can believe it. We can hold on to it. In fact, we need to say it more. We need to say it in the way Paul meant it. Not as a promise that Christ will empower your every ambition, and not as pressure that hurting people should handle life better than they are, but as a testimony that God can sustain his people in every circumstance. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he's with me, because he sustains me, because he forms me, and because he strengthens me to remain faithful in every circumstance. And so maybe the fuller truth is this: Christ doesn't strengthen us for a perfect life, but enables us to be faithful in the one we have. Because it means that Christ's strength, it's not just for the big moments. It's for an ordinary day. It's for the hidden obedience. It's for the quiet endurance. It's for the disappointing seasons. It's for when the table is full and for when the table is empty. It's for abundance and need. It's for the mountaintops and it's for the valleys. It's for every place where Christ calls us to trust him. And my friends, that means that this verse is not smaller than we thought. We're not needing to lower our expectations. We're not needing to ask God for less. It means it's deeper and bigger. It's not less encouraging. It's more encouraging. And so from our time together today, three things for you to take with you. First, contentment is learned, not automatic. Paul does not say contentment came naturally. He says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Contentment is something that Jesus forms in us over time. Second, Christ's strength is for every circumstance. Paul's all things were not the goals that he wanted to accomplish. They were the circumstances that he's learned to face. Abundance and need, hunger and plenty, strength and weakness, success and disappointment. And third, Christ strengthens us to achieve everything, or not to achieve everything we want, but to remain faithful in everything we face. The promise of Philippians 4:13 is not that Christ will always change your circumstances, but that he will give us the strength to remain faithful within them, whatever the circumstance. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that for each person who is here today, for each person who hears this message, God, I thank you that wherever they are at in their life right now, in this moment, God, I thank you that you have strength for them. God, if they look around and everything looks good and everything looks right, everything looks just the way that it should be, God, I thank you that you have strength for them in that moment. Strength to be reliant. Strength to bring them back to you. Strength not to make them more self-sufficient, but strength for them to see that self-sufficiency is not the end goal. And God, I pray for all of those today who look around at their life and they see a life that's not the way it should be. This is not the circumstances that I thought I would find myself in. I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm beaten down, I'm sad, I'm lonely. That life is not, in this moment, a victory. God, I thank you that this verse promises us in every way that you have strength for us in that moment. And so, God, I pray that you would help us when we are at those moments in life, and God, for those who are at those moments in those moments today, God, would you help us to resist the temptation to try and do it in our own strength? Would you help us to resist the temptation to try and be and do all that I can be and do by my own strength? But God, would you help us to be reliant on you? Would you help us to exchange our strength for your strength? Would you help us to cast our cares on you? Would you help us to place our trust and our hope that even in this thing, God, we can find strength today. God, I thank you for your grace and your strength in our lives. And God, I just pray for all of those who are so worn out and tired. God, for those who are so disappointed and sad, for those who are doubting and questioning. God, for those who are in a difficult season. God, would you show yourself strong in a new way? Would you reveal your strength to them in a new way? God, would you give them hope in a new way? Would you give them grace? Would you give them strength? God, I thank you that wherever we're at right now, whatever our story is, whatever this moment in our life looks like, God, I thank you that you have things for us today. And so, God, I pray that today we would receive our daily bread. the strength that we need from you today. God, thank you for who you are, and thank you for the way that you love us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,